And we're going to wrap it all up here. Dr. Gary Bachman from Mississippi State University is going to talk on the very important subject of work-life balance. Gary?
Thank you, man. Yep. Thanks, Dr. Kopsel. First of all, I have to state that I'm probably going to touch on some things that you've already heard in this session already. And like Amy, I started early in my career, and I am only 29 years old. So you better listen about what's going on here, okay? So let's go ahead and get started. Oops.
Use the arrows down there.
Okay, I'm older than 29. Okay. Anyways, what I'm going to talk about today is really primarily looking at your work-life balance. If we get into the weeds on trying to balance work life to personal life, we'll be here till 8 o'clock tonight. But if you can balance your work life, you can make your home life work. Okay, that's kind of the approach that I'm taking with this. And I'm going to say this is from my perspective. This is my 30 years. Okay? It may be different for you, but I think there's some good tips here. Let's go ahead and get started. So, those of you in graduate school can probably relate to this. You know, so you work 40 hours. What do you do, you know, after Wednesday? So, you know, I was there. You know, and I think that's some of the realities that we have as graduate students as we're progressing in our career. But I think we can do better than that. You know, when we look at work-life balance in academia, notice the graphic here, we're always kind of tilted towards work. That tends to take the preference in everything we do. But, you know, let's define work. It's career and ambition. Okay, that's pretty clear. But life is health, pleasure, leisure, family, spiritual development. There's whole other components that we have if we really want to have a satisfying career and family life. So, work-life balance in academia. Is it different for a graduate student and for the newly minted associate or assistant professor? What do you think? I'm seeing a couple yeses. I don't see any noes. Well, which is which? You know, I've seen both. You know, graduate students and assistant professors. So maybe we don't have that, you know, delineation between all this work and, you know, exhaustion that we see here. You know, how long is your work day? How long do you guys work in the lab? How long do you guys work in the office? Just throw some numbers out. Be realistic, or lie if you want to, but we know that you're lying. You know, in the 18th century, a 10 to 16 hour work day, that was the norm. We didn't have automation. We didn't have machines. We had to have manual labor to do everything. So everybody worked a long time. But in 1817, Robert Owen, you know, postulated this radical idea. Let's have a balanced life. 8 hours of work, 8 hours of play, and 8 hours of sleep. That sounds great if you ask me. But it took Henry Ford to really put that into practice when we look at industry in this country, where he instituted the 5 days, 8 hours a day, 40-hour work week. He increased wages, and oh my God, productivity increased when he did that. That shouldn't happen, should it? But that's what happened. So when we look at modern academia now, we work 10 to 16 hours a day. Are we going backwards? Are we working way more than we really have to? I don't know. I don't get anybody disagreeing with me here, so I'm just... So we'll continue. Bureau of Labor Statistics, 8-hour day. Okay, let's just look at some statistics here. Productive hours a day. If you work 8 hours, which I know you work all twice that, but how many productive hours do you have in an 8-hour day? Give me some numbers. 6.5. You are an overachiever.
Isn't the scientific conclusion that it's your first 1.5 to 2 hours that you're most productive and you just peter out?
your check is in the mail, trust me on this, okay? You know, right now, it's about 3 hours per 8 hour day is actually you're productive. Now think about it. If you're working a 16 hour day, you're only productive for 6 hours of that. What are you doing the other 10? You got to think about that. Well, we're doing other stuff, right? You know, we're news websites more than an hour a day. Are you kidding me? We're checking social media. Who's on the phone right now? I see 1, 2, 3, 4. You're not paying attention to this 29-year-old giving you good advice, okay? But that's, look, and we all do it. I do it, okay? But these are the things that, in, you know, if you want to say, slow down our productivity, make us less productive. You know, there's, you know, the chit-chatting with our colleagues. We all do that too, right? How many of you are looking for new jobs 26 minutes a day? This, I don't know who they surveyed, but, you know, people are looking for an awful lot of new jobs, and et cetera. So we waste a lot of time in our day when we could actually be being productive. Okay. So I really think that we need to rethink our academic culture. And now this is based on an article from Michael Hyatt, and it's, no, you don't have to work 24/7 to succeed. Michael Hyatt is my digital mentor. And I think somebody just talked about mentors. Didn't I just hear that? He's my digital mentor. He's a productivity guru. You know, if you want to become more efficient in your career and your life, look up Michael Hyatt on the internet. He has podcasts. He has a great website. It's just a tip. If that's the only tip you get from me today, look up Michael Hyatt, you know, like between now and, you know, the whatever we're doing later on today, okay? But rested scholars are better scholars. Rested people are better people. I mean, if you cheat on your sleep and you cheat on having recreation, what happens with that? What gets lowered? Creativity, judgment, critical thinking. And what are some of the hallmarks of being an academic? Creativity, judgment, and critical thinking. I mean, if you're not rested, you're not being the best academic you can be. Oops. You have to have a separate home and work life. And notice, home is first. Work is not first here. Home is first. Because if you're on your phone 24/7 with your portable devices, who's on the phone right now? Okay, thank you very much for owning up to it. What are you doing? You're cheating your family time. You're cheating time that you could be contributing to your community, whatever that is. So put the darn device down for 10 minutes, would you? It'll make a difference. You'll feel lost without it, but 10 minutes is not it's not a long period of time. Then the next day you do 20 minutes, okay? And just do incremental. It'll be fine. But if you overwork yourself, it's going to lead you to burnout, and that leads you to cynicism. And I know that, you know, I've had colleagues that were, I called them cantankerous, but they were cynics, you know, and they were beat down by the system. And what does that do? It hurts your personal, it hurts your professional life, and you get to that, what's the point? What's the point of what we're doing? And I'm going to share you what my what's the point day was. It was after I was promoted to associate professor. And, you know, in my evaluation, it was, Gary, you were doing fantastic. And I'm like, yes, this is great, you know, all my hard work. But if you want to make full professor, you need to bring in more external dollars. You need to write more referee publications. You need to do more service. Now, okay, I'm kind of a rebel on this. So what did I do? I stopped working 10 plus hours a day because I realized I was beating my head against the wall, and I couldn't work anymore and be successful in what I was doing. You know, it made me look at how I was working, and I realized I'm not very productive in the evening. Who works after dinner? On stuff. Yeah, I used to. I don't anymore. If there's deadlines or something, yes. But for the most part, I don't do that anymore. I realized that mornings, I was the most productive I'm going to be during the entire day. And there's some discussions in the productivity realm that it's when you wake up, it's your first 8 to 9 hours that you're awake from when you wake up, that's when you're most productive. So think about that. Doesn't matter if you wake up at 4 o'clock or you wake up at noon. That's when the clock starts. Consider that your most productive time and make the most of it. Now myself, I'm very routine. I've got to have a routine. I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I was up at 4:15 this morning, okay? Yeah. 2-hour time difference and everything. But I wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and I go to the gym. It's not crowded. I can get done with what I want to do. I also read in the morning. And I don't read those boring scientific journals, okay, that we all have to read. I read things that I enjoy. I enjoy revolutionary history. So right now I'm reading Washington Spies. And that was the Netflix series Turn was based on this book. It's fascinating if you haven't looked at that. You know, I cook a real breakfast every morning. I don't go to McDonald's. I don't go to Hardee's. It's all yummy, but I don't do that. I physically cook my breakfast myself. By then, it's 6:30, 7 o'clock, time to shower, dress. I'm ready for the rest of the day. That's my routine. If anybody tries to follow and copy this routine, please don't do it because it may not be for you. It's right for me. And in the evenings, it's family time. It's just me and my wife now. But we realized early on that grad school and everything was going to be a stress. And she put up with me going through that. And this is kind of my payback to her. This is family time. She and I cocktail, binge something, housework, yard work. And I go to bed at 9 o'clock at night. You know, none of this staying up to 2 o'clock in the morning trying to rush something out. I don't do that anymore. So, some tips, and this is from Business News Daily that I've adapted, tips to improve your work life. You know, except there's no perfect balance here. You know, you'll work out the balance that works for you. But realize you can get there. Prioritize your health. I wasn't very healthy in my early years. I'm 64 now. I do a pretty darn good job with it now because I finally realized what the importance of it. I have a colleague, worked 16 hours a day 7 years ago, had a heart attack. He had the Widowmaker. He survived that. Quadruple bypass. He was good for a year. And then he went back into the old ways, and he's doing the same darn thing. He's put on 50 pounds. He was back in the hospital with heart stuff again. I don't think it's worth it. Take care of yourselves now. You guys are all young people. Well, I'm young too. I'm 29, right? So it's make time for family. When I was in grad school, I told you my wife and I, we realized there was going to be some struggles with that. Family time, when I was at Clemson and at The Ohio State University, I took my kids to school every day. I picked them up every day from school, and we had dinner together. That was important. Now, I worked a heck of a lot of hours at night, but they were sleeping, okay? And I did what I had to do, but they had that time with me. That's important, too, when you guys all get to that stage. Don't be afraid to unplug. I think I've beat that horse to death here already. Take a vacation. ASHS is a wonderful organization. We go to great places for our annual meetings. It was always our family vacation every year. Wherever we were going, Kate and the kids, this is where we went for vacation. And while I was doing the thing here, Kate and the kids did whatever, but we always took days either before the conference or days after the conference. That was just family time. And we took advantage of what ASHS, you know, the opportunity they gave us to do that. Set boundaries on work hours, you know. I'm not going to get all up on that. Set goals and priorities. You know, if you're wanting, you know, if you're an assistant professor and you want to be promoted, better know what you have to do to get the beans in the pot to get to that next step. And likewise, associate to fall. And get a mentor. You know, mentors are incredibly important. They keep you on track. And it could be a senior faculty in your own department, could be a senior faculty in another department. It could be a faculty member in another university that you have confidence in, that you've made a connection with, to help you keep on track. And it doesn't have to be a weekly checkup. It could be a bi-yearly, you know, a quarterly. But just somebody to hold you accountable to make sure that you stay on track work-wise. You know, and I'm just going to say, if you can, I don't know, if you can follow what I laid out here as far as what I did, you know, and keep your work-life balanced, you'll have a good home life at home. So if anybody's got any questions, fire away. If not.
Any questions for Gary?
No questions? Man, I covered that, John.
You got it. Yeah, you got it. All right.
Either that or everybody's just amazed. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.